No, Alfred roared. Not again. Cut. Mary sliced her hand through the air. The two demon princes were halved at the waist. Collapsing, their bodies slowly morphed back into their human forms. Helen died at once, but Josh met Fiora's stare long enough to whisper, I'm sorry, before dying. Fiora whispered a silent prayer for her old friend. Curse you to the nine hells! Alfred had gone crazy. So many plans, so many contingencies, and someone unexpected once again came and destroyed everything he had created. You two, you killed my flesh dragon, Alfred suddenly recognized them. Yeah, we did, Millie yelled. And now we'll beat you. Millie? Fred gasped in shock. Rowan? Hi, Daddy, Millie waved cheerfully. We may have wrecked the tavern a bit. Sorry. Rowan also waved, but looked a bit embarrassed by all the stares. Quickly calming now, Alfred examined Millie. Perhaps all isn't lost, he mused. At least the target has finally been found. He placed his palm against his chest and pressed. Target? Mary squinted before realizing. Millie, look out! Before Millie could react, a winged figure appeared behind her and captured her. Millie and the kidnapper warped across the field to where Alfred was. You've done well, my servant, the winged figure said to Alfred. You finally brought out the prey. Just in time, I might add. Hey, let me go, Millie screamed, struggling to break free of the tail that was holding her. Release my daughter, you demon, Fred shouted, charging into the white mist. The winged figure grinned. A second winged figure appeared in front of Fred and socked him in the gut, knocking the wind out of the retired adventurer. As Fred coughed, he was thrown over to the feet of Alfred. Daddy! Millie screamed. I'll kill you! You hear that, sister? She said she'd kill me, the second winged figure giggled. She'll change her tune once she meets the master. The first giggled as well. Who are you? Mary asked, her swords hovering behind her. Michelle and Milda, at your service once again, Master Mary. Michelle bowed mockingly, her tail still holding Millie. The cult within Durin was started by a pair of sisters, Mary recounted slowly. They vanished before the investigation could be complete. Those names, I recall those names on a dungeon casualty report a year back as well. Bravo, Milda clapped. Your memory is spot on, Guildmaster. Indeed, that was us. We've been moving around this country for some time now and decided to end our little journey here at Durin. Little did we know how chaotic it would get here.
What are you? Who are you? Fred gasped from the ground.
Milda grinned and stepped on the downed tavern keeper, her strength forcing him onto his belly. We're devils, of course, castaways from the devil's country in the far north.
You mean exiled, Mary corrected. I've met one of your kind before. Your country denounces the worship of your demon ancestors, with the penalty being either death or banishment. From the looks of it, you two have embraced your succubus heritage.
The two devils hissed, their moods finally worsened by Mary's words.
Our people are fools, Michelle spat. Why limit ourselves to only one side of our mixed heritage? Demons are strong, powerful, and beautiful. Those bastard elders in our clan couldn't see that, and they banished my younger sister and I to these pitiful human lands.
But then we found him.
Milda's face turned dreamy.
The master. He understood us and brought us into his plan. His will is our will now, and he desires this girl for the plan.
She gazed at Millie in undisguised jealousy.
Well, he wants you both as well, Michelle remembered, pointing at Mary and Fiora. See, he's very interested in you both joining his side. Once you meet him, he'll show you the truth, and all three of you can be one happy family again.
Mary's face paled.
Eric here, she whispered.
The name of her lover, the name of the man who fell to evil and used her body against her will, the father of their child, Fiora.
Mary saw an image in her mind, that of a young, handsome man with red hair.
So the leader of this invasion is my father?
Fiora grimaced.
Why does he have any interest in Millie? Seems your mother didn't tell you everything,
Michelle taunted.
You see, your wonderful father is actually the head priest, you could even say pope, of the religion of Temptra, and this young child happens to be the newest chosen of the Goddess of Desire.
Shock rumbled through the gathered adventurers. None of them were aware of Millie's true identity.
You haven't explained why he wants her yet, Mary pressed, recovered from her shock.
Should we tell them?
Milda asked Michelle coyly.
Why not? They'll be on our side soon enough,
Michelle giggled. Milda smiled and turned to Mary and the crowd.
You see, our master discovered an ancient power in years past. His experiments proved fruitful, and he recreated the ancient magic of corruption. Not the fake version we had Alfred create. That is a mere mockery. No, our master unlocked the true power, and through it he took control. The Empire's Council of Priests is now his, every one of them his acolyte. However, he was cast out of Temptra's clergy and lost much of his power. In order to regain his strength, he created the plan. The plan to twist the Goddess of Desire into the Goddess of Corruption,
Milda cried out, her eyes filled with adoration.
All he needed was to find someone with a strong enough connection to Temptra to use as the connection. And now, we have it. Like hell I'll help you, Millie yelled in defiance. You both can go sniff a dog's butt. Silly Millie, Michelle taunted. Don't you realize? You'll be seeing our point of view soon enough.
From the succubus sisters' bodies, gray smoke bellowed out in a storm. The smoke covered everyone, moving into their mouths, noses, and ears. Only Mary was able to block the smoke in time, everyone else falling victim to it. Millie's eyes turned gray as she fell limp in Michelle's tail.
Do you see our point of view now? She asked sweetly.
Millie's eyes reappeared, and she smiled sickeningly.
Of course, my mistress. How could I ever say such things to you?
She giggled.
All is for our lord and master.
Snap out of it, Millie, Mary commanded.
In response, every adventurer turned to face Mary, and they all laughed at her.
Come, mother, embrace it,
Fiora smiled.
Don't you miss father? We can be a family again. Everything will be peaceful once we're together. Just let it in.
Mary used her blade to block an arrow shot by Gran, who chuckled at her.
You can't keep this up, master, he taunted her. You said it yourself earlier. Those swords have lives of their own. First, they will be enlightened, and then you will as well. Don't make it any more difficult than it has to be.
Mary eyed her swords and confirmed that they were slowly turning gray at the edges. She took an offensive pose.
Are you going to kill us, mother?
Fiora giggled, followed by every adventurer.
Will you take our lives?
Fiora's face suddenly morphed into one of begging.
Mother, please, don't kill me. I'm still here. Please, save me.
Curse you,
Mary hissed at the sisters, forcing herself to stand down.
That's it, Milda giggled. Just give up and join us. Soon, everyone will be with us.
Screw that,
an angry voice came over the crowd. Milda and Michelle screamed as two orbs of black magic slammed into them, leaving dark burns on their bodies. The succubi growled and turned to face their attacker. Rowan floated over the crowd, standing above the gray mist on a platform made of dark magic.
You think enforcing your will on others is a new strategy?
Rowan grunted.
You're hundreds of years behind in terms of thought. I'll expose this magic for the sham it is.
Chapter 32.
Rowan?
Mary's eyebrows rose in surprise. Rowan didn't respond to her, instead lifting his right palm. A barrier of dark energy appeared below Mary, lifting her up out of the foggy smoke.
Mary coughed a few times, expelling the little gas she had breathed in. Her swords rose with her, returning to their pure red color with her. Rowan gave a hard stare as he examined his friend.
"Millie, what is my favorite food?" he asked suddenly. "It's roasted deer with berries," Millie answered, raising a curious eyebrow at Rowan. "That's a silly question to ask your best friend, isn't it? You must be feeling sick."
"And you clearly have all the real Millie's memories," Rowan grimaced. "This is why I hate mind control spells. Who knows if anyone here will remember what you say after this spell wears off?"
Michelle and Milda shot a surprised look at Rowan's floating body.
"What, you thought your bluff was going to work?" Rowan flipped them off. "If this was really some all-powerful corruption magic, then I would have sensed it. My power is dark magic. Curses, debuffs, and status effects are all under my domain. This gray smoke is just inflicting a temporary charm magic, an illusion of what I suspect is your lust demon heritage magic."
"Bravo," Milda clapped. "You got it. Only our master is capable of the true magic, but our power is strong enough to control anyone we desire for at least a day. Think you can stop us all by yourself?"
"He's not by himself," Mary announced, opening more of her blood jars. "If this is charm magic, then all we have to do is defeat you both."
"Maybe, maybe not," Michelle taunted. "You'll just have to try your best."
Milda gave Rowan a large smile.
"But it seems that we're going to have to punish you both. After all, everyone will soon become part of us, including you two. Do your best to take your punishment without dying. Everyone, if you please."
Rowan cursed loudly as a plethora of arrows and spells flew toward him and Mary.
"Shield of blood,"
Mary commanded, and her three shields reappeared around the two allies. She winced as her blood shields took countless attacks, each depleting a small bit of her magical power.
"Rowan," she turned to her student, "can you find a way to stop their movements without killing them? Ganis did teach you dark binding, correct?"
"I'll need some time," he muttered. "The dark binding only works on smaller groups. There must be over 100 adventurers here. Master, why doesn't anyone have items to protect against mind control?"
"We don't have artificers capable of casting that kind of enchantment."
"Oof," Mary explained, wincing as another volley of spells and arrows hit her shields.
"It's a rare enough debuff that most adventurers never come across a mind-altering spell in their lifetime, let alone a mind-controlling spell."
"Then everyone is having a very unlucky year."
Rowan cracked his knuckles.
"All right, allow me to demonstrate what I've learned, Master."
Rowan sucked in a mouthful of air, tensing up as he folded his hands and set his feet apart. His eyes opened abruptly, dark light illuminating the fog below him. His hands came apart, clenched into claws as he cried out,
"I call upon the darkness to be a veil upon the minds of my enemies. Dark illusion!" he chanted.
Thrusting his arms fully out, Rowan unleashed tendrils of dark magic that snaked their way down into the smoke. The tendrils hit the ground and spread in every direction, moving like plant roots as they wormed their way over the ground and up every leg they touched. Adventurers screamed as the dark magic took their minds, knocking them out as they faced hallucinations of their fears and failed to confront them.
"Problem with this kind of mind control," Rowan smirked, "is that altering their priorities leaves them with their original desires and fears. I can't scare a doll, but I can scare a puppet."
"Careful, Rowan," Mary cautioned. "Your spell didn't affect the strong ones."
Fiora and her team shook their heads free of the spell, while Millie had cast a red barrier to block the spell from reaching her or the devils. A few others had also somehow gotten in the barrier.
"Master Ganis," Rowan groaned at the sight of his teacher, his arms around the smoke-controlled princesses.
"Nice try, Rowan," Ganis smiled. "But I taught you that spell. How are you feeling after casting such a strong spell? Tired? Perhaps even a little fatigued? Why don't you come down and rest before you run out of mana?"
Rowan licked his lips, but didn't respond to the older man.
Master Merry, I'm not sure I can fight all of them with the power I have left. Ganis by himself is much stronger than I am.
I'll deal with them, Merry vowed, her sword turning horizontally to face the Devil Sisters.
Not so fast, Guild Master, Milda wagged her finger. We've already seen what your swords can do. Use them again, and you forfeit the princess's lives.
Hilda and Shiva each held a dagger to their throats, smiling all the while, as if their hands held flowers and not sharp implements.
And if that's not enough, Michelle waved her hand, having Fiora cut her own wrist with her sword. Then your daughter here will suffer a tragic accident on the blade of her own weapon. Would you really risk family and loyalty to attack us? I promise you, you'd miss at least one of us.
Mary's eyes narrowed, but she did hesitate.
It appears, then, that we are at a stalemate, she observed. More like you have been placed in check, Michelle refuted. Our new allies certainly don't have any qualms attacking you, after all.
With a wave of her hand, Fiora's group entered the red barrier and stood next to Ganis and Millie. Milda even allowed Fred to stand and join the line, though he still appeared injured.
You may have incapacitated our lesser pawns, but all we need are the strong for sacrifices. With the Chosen in our possession, there really isn't any reason for us to stay here, she concluded.
Rowan ground his teeth, but felt trapped. As he quickly planned an attack, he was distracted by a sudden warmth. The old adventurer bag from the tavern, which Millie had had him carry, was warming up. Curiously, Rowan reached into the bag and pulled out the skull, Mr. Bubbles. The skull was glowing a dim red and was pleasantly warm to the touch. The succubi sisters tensed and locked eyes on the skull, hissing in recognition.
No, how do you have that? Michelle hissed.
Why are you not holding the idol? Milda turned to Millie and berated her. Why have you lent it to an unworthy brat like him?
Millie's eyes unfocused slightly.
I gave it to him because he was trustworthy, she mumbled, her expression becoming slightly confused. Now, why did I? I'm not sure.
Rowan raised an eyebrow at the sisters' exasperated expressions and grinned evilly.
I'm not sure what this is, but this really shouldn't stop you from leaving. Go on, then. Scram, he taunted.
He slipped the skull back into the adventurer bag.
Kill him and take back the symbol of Temptra, Michelle screamed.
Fiora, Gran, Nat, Jonas, and Ganis spread out and ran towards the floating duo. Merry summoned swords to block them.
Stay out of this, Merry, or they die, Milda screeched, her expression as livid as her sister's. Kill the boy for his insolence. Can't choke to save a life these days, Rowan chuckled, before he swore and was forced to drop out of the sky to dodge three separate fire attacks.
As he landed, Rowan scrambled sideways as Nat's giant sword slammed into the ground next to him.
Sorry, kid, Nat smiled, but orders are orders.
She lifted her sword and swung it again, narrowly missing Rowan's neck as he bent down quickly. Rowan covered his fist with dark magic and attempted to punch the older adventurer, but Nat caught his wrist easily and threw him away from the collapsed adventurers. Coughing, Rowan summoned a shield of dark magic just in time to block five silver arrows fired by Gran. The elf, seeing his attack blocked, began chanting a wind spell as Jonas charged the young boy. His body ablaze with flames, Jonas leapt into the air and landed fist first, sending a wave of fire surging toward Rowan. Gran finished his spell, and a tempest of wind caught the fire, swirling it into a tornado that surrounded the dark mage. Rowan groaned as he expanded the shield to cover himself completely, though he was unable to block the rising temperature around him. The enemy didn't let up as Fiora jumped through the wall of wind and flame. She brought her sword down on the dome shield,
striking over and over, each attack making Rowan's head ding. She was almost immediately joined by Nat, who also slammed her massive weapon into the shield as easily as if she were wielding a butter knife. Rowan couldn't stop himself from coughing up a little blood. His body was quickly running out of mana. Being trapped in the dome, it made him remember his many years trapped in a cocoon. He hated small spaces, and his dome was slowly shrinking around him.
"That's enough!"
Rowan roared, his magic going berserk. His dome shattered as a wave of dark magic shot out in all directions, destroying the tornado and sending Fiora and Nat tumbling backwards. Rowan stood up, his entire being shaking in fury.
"I'm sorry, Masters," Rowan whispered, "but I'm breaking my promise."
As he said that, Rowan's left half seemed to turn translucent, his bones becoming more visible to the outside world. With half a grinning skull, Rowan turned to glare at the four adventurers, who had gathered together.
"Purify!"
a sudden voice came from behind Rowan. At once, a large beam of light shot down from the sky into Rowan. The boy screamed as the light burned him, his skeletal half smoking and burning under the light's harsh energy.
"You violated the oath you gave to me and Master Mary,"
Gannis shook his head sadly. The old mage had reappeared from invisibility a few feet behind Rowan.
"As punishment for the illegal use of undead magic, I shall lend the world of good a hand in exterminating you, my former student. Fare thee well, and may the gods have mercy on your soul."
"Gannis, stop!" Mary shouted. "Do you really want to kill your best student?"
"Yes, because it is the right thing to do," Gannis said with a pleasant smile.
Rowan groaned, falling to his knees as the light increased in intensity.
"Don't worry," Claire's voice echoed in Rowan's ears. "We've got this under control. Anodyne, no!"
With a loud thunk, Gannis was slammed into the ground by a blue tentacle. The slime covered his nose and mouth, suffocating the old man until he fainted from lack of air. Rowan sighed in relief as the light disappeared, and he got back up. His injuries and burns slowly faded as he turned to frown at his ally.
"What took you so long?"
he complained to Anodyne, who, except for the tentacle that was her left arm, still looked like an adventurer.
"Was trying to find a way through Millie's barrier," she explained. "It's no good for now."
Anodyne turned her head to gaze at the shocked faces facing her in every direction.
"Master, it's been a long time,"
Anodyne smiled sadly, bowing to Mary.
"So it was true,"
Mary teared up, her fists clenching.
"All those reports I gathered, the mysterious blue slime, it was you. My time here is done, but I have come as a last favor to you, my apprentice sister, and my family,"
Anodyne responded, throwing a glare toward the Devil Sisters.
"Though revenge isn't entirely out of the question either." "From your words, you are the former princess."
Milda's eyes narrowed, and she flashed her fangs.
"Grr, you should have stayed dead. Adventurers, kill her!"
"Sorry, little one," Fiora apologized, "but your time in this world already ended. Rest in pieces."
"I've learned a few tricks since our last sparring, Fiora. Here, let me show you."
Anodyne surged forward, her lower body returning to slime and her two arms becoming a sword and buckler shield. Fiora rushed forth to meet her, and the two began their battle. Rowan, in the meantime, locked eyes with Fiora's three friends. His previously weakened state surged with new power as his connection with the dungeon suddenly strengthened. Rowan felt his power as a dungeon boss for the first time, and he liked it.
"You all showed me an enjoyable time. Allow me to return the favor," he whispered evilly.
At his command, gray smoke flowed down from his left hand. It didn't mix with the white fog, instead pushing it out of the way as it soaked into the ground and collapsed adventurers. He created a field of death around him, a much stronger form than when Alfred had done the same.
"Rise, my servants,"
Rowan commanded, and from the grayness, a horde of skeletons arose.
You only summon skeletons?
Nat mocked, hefting her sword behind her neck to rest on her shoulder.
Ha! Huh, go ahead and bring as many as you can. These weaklings will be a good warm-up. Zombies would have been a better choice, newbie.
I don't like zombies, Rowan grinned. They're too smelly. Skeletons, however, are much more pliable.
He stretched out his right hand, and dark magic shot forth onto each skeleton. The dark magic coalesced into armor and weapons, changing the stone-white skeletons into an army of darkness. Nat cursed loudly at the sight of the army.
Enjoy your warm-up,
Rowan laughed, and his army attacked. Anodyne and Fiora exchanged blow after blow, their weapons flashing in the midday light as they clanged repeatedly against each other. Anodyne blocked another swipe with her sword and threw her shield out to punch Fiora. Fiora jumped back to dodge the shield and ignited her blade, using the heated metal to cut the slime shield in half. Anodyne discarded the burning slime and reformed a new shield.
I see you've learned how to handle your new powers, little one, Fiora smiled happily. Tell you what, if you join us, then you and I can fight together again.
Over my dead body, Anodyne snorted.
Well, that was my order, Fiora agreed. Maybe a little pain will remind you who the senior is here.
As the two continued their bout, Nat, Jonas, and Gran were struggling against a horde of strengthened undead.
Where are all these dead bodies coming from?
Jonas asked warily as he smashed through another skeletal warrior. Rowan didn't say anything, but hearkened back to when Doc happily presented him with the many, many skeletons the dungeon had collected alongside the armor and weapons from the undead dungeon. Nat let out a battle cry as she swung her sword around her, destroying every skeleton near her.
Even strengthened, these skeletons are still weak. Just break their bones and they won't be able to come back.
We'll see about that, Rowan chuckled maliciously.
The gray magic surging from Rowan's hand gathered around the broken bones and was absorbed by them. The cracks and shards glowed and came back together, healing into perfect bones once again. Skeletons with missing parts reached down and remade themselves before resuming the march on the adventurers.
Fiora, Gran cried out. There are too many of them. We need your help.
Mary, who was watching from the sky, privately wondered who the real bad guys were in this situation. Fiora frowned as she locked swords with Anodyne.
It sounds like our new fellow apprentice is giving my friends a hard fight. Seems like I must end this fight now.
Anodyne raised an eyebrow.
And how do you expect to do that?
Fiora winked before her eyes rolled back into her head. Her mouth fell open, and gray smoke rushed out to enter Anodyne's mouth and nose. The young woman choked violently and backed off, struggling to exhale the mind-controlling gas.
I wanted to have a good fight, but work must come first.
Fiora smiled down at Anodyne.
Do you understand what must be done?
Anodyne stopped coughing and looked up, her eyes gray before settling. She smiled at Fiora.
I understand. Good. Then let's help our apprentice brother see your side of things.
Fiora turned to face the skeletal horde. A sword plunged through Fiora's chest, barely missing her heart. Fiora sputtered and choked at the sudden pain, unable to believe her eyes.
You seem to be misinformed on what I am,
Anodyne said from behind her.
Whatever is controlling your mind doesn't seem to handle illogical situations very well. What, did you think I was some shape-shifting ghost monster or something? As a slime, I don't need to breathe, nor does my mind reside in this body. Out of consideration for our past, I made sure to miss your vital organs.
Mary winced at the sight of her former apprentice stabbing her eldest apprentice, but sighed in relief at Anodyne's words. Any good healing spell would fix Fiora up, but until then, she would be greatly encumbered. Rowan, in the meantime, had his undead overpower the adventurers. By his hand, the bones of his minions wrapped around the three, imprisoning them in a tight webbing of bone.
They cried out as the bones absorbed their mana, falling unconscious quickly once depleted.
Sister, it appears our abilities do not yet allow our slaves to fight at their best yet, Milda observed, slightly crestfallen.
That's all right, Milda. We are still learning to enjoy our gifts from the Master, Michelle comforted.
She turned her gaze toward Mary, Rowan, and Anodyne.
You have all interrupted our plans, she said shortly, her countenance calm and collected once more. Boy, hand over the skull, and we will release the princesses, the girl, and the girl's father.
Don't do it, Rowan, Mary warned. They will cheat you, and that skull seems to be vital to their plan. We can't afford their master getting his hands on it.
The idol is only valuable so long as its chosen is alive, Michelle smiled.
She held a dagger up to Millie's neck.
While killing the chosen would inconvenience us, her corpse would still be useful. Make your choice, little boy.
That's rather underhanded, Anodyne noted.
For our master, we are willing to do anything, Milda crowed. But then, we are angry that you all keep ruining our plans. Hand the skull to my sister quickly, or we won't hesitate.
Compared to my lord, your level of deception is pitiful, Anodyne laughed loudly.
Michelle screamed as a throwing dagger impaled itself in her arms and exploded, charging backwards with her sister to assess the threat. Millie's face contorted in rage as she glared at the Devil Sisters, her daggers having already knocked out the princesses and her father.
No one takes my mind away and lives to tell about it, Millie growled.
Impossible, Milda screeched. How did you break free of our control?
I have faith in my goddess, Millie spat, and my head has no more room for your poison. Now, feel the combined wrath of me and my goddess.
Within her head, the slime Doc had planted was busy devouring the last of the magic fog. Millie had never felt more appreciative toward the invasive monster.
You've all ruined everything, Michelle roared, her body distorting with each word, making her succubi features grow fierce. That's it. No more plans. No more capturing. You all die now.
Chapter 33 Orso staggered to his feet, his exhaustion taking its toll on his health. His sword dripped with blood and demonic ichor as he panted, his eyes staying sharp as the enemy quickly regrouped closer to the wall.
Orso, you need to retreat.
Frost placed his hand on Orso's shoulder. Orso shrugged the colonel off and turned back toward the men.
Someone send a messenger to the refugees and Master Mary, he ordered. Tell them that our position will soon be overrun, and we're going to have to retreat to the Elven Palisade.
Yes, sir, Commander,
a soldier saluted and leapt down. Orso watched as the messenger sprinted at full speed across Tent City toward the Irontown Gate. He wiped some blood from his eye and leaned against the battlements to gaze out at the enemy. Seeing their lines restored, Orso brandished his sword once again and cried out,
Men, prepare for another wave! If they break the line, retreat to the Iron City Gate!
Yes, Commander,
his tired men answered, their minds resolute in their decision to fight. The demons and fleshlings attacked, and screams soon filled the air. The Devil Sisters, enraged beyond all measure, radiated magic power before the four warriors. Their bat-like wings grew sharp around the edges, and their nails sharpened into claws. The fangs within their mouths grew as well, giving their faces a predatory edge to them.
You will all die painfully, Michelle promised.
Rowan rolled his eyes.
I've heard that before. Skeletons, destroy them!
At his command, the army of darkness advanced toward the sisters, their eye sockets a sinister black.
Do you view us like those weakling adventurers? Milda giggled shrilly. You underestimate the power of us sisters.
They vanished in a blur, and the skeletons exploded as wind tore through them. Rowan's dungeon-enhanced power couldn't repair bones that were ground to dust by the sisters' attack.
The boy himself had enough foresight to throw himself to the side, but he was still injured as a wing spine sliced down his arm. He hissed in pain, channeling dark power to cover the wound. Millie ran over to help him.
"Dance, my blades of blood," Mary commanded, and she too vanished.
A moment later, the sky was filled with metallic clangs as Mary engaged the eldest sister in a one-on-one fight. The swords and claws clashed at a speed that could just barely be seen by the naked eye.
"Alfred, stop playing dead," Milda ordered,
licking Rowan's blood off her wing.
"Take care of that fake princess, or you'll feel our punishment later."
The ground rumbled, and Alfred reappeared, holding Annabelle's unconscious body. The two had disappeared upon the arrival of the sisters, evidently relying on Alfred's necrotic powers to hide within the ground.
"As you wish, mistress," Alfred bowed.
He turned to face Anodyne and glared.
"You should have stayed dead, princess. Your death was the beginning of everything going wrong," Alfred berated her.
Anodyne glared.
"I heard you were the one who tricked my older brother into becoming a demonic sacrifice. Your treachery shall be answered by your death."
"I won't die," Alfred laughed, his eyes aglow with evil magic. "My mistresses shall help me become a mighty lich, and I will live forever as a lord."
"A servant lord, nothing more,"
Anodyne sighed in pity. Alfred screamed in rage at her words. His undead magic pulled bones from the ground that covered his flesh, encasing him in a bone armor from head to toe. Wielding a sharpened bone as a sword, he engaged Anodyne in a flurry of overhead attacks. The slime girl reshaped her shield into another sword and attacked in turn.
"Now, how should I handle you two?" Milda asked heinously.
She flicked her claws, their tips dripping with a green compound.
"I may not be as strong as my elder sister yet, but I am the more creative one. While I really shouldn't kill you, chosen girl, I suppose you don't require all your limbs to be useful. That boy is completely unneeded, though. Oh, how about I kill him with you?"
The girl blew out more mind-controlling fog toward Millie.
"You won't take my mind again, demon spawn," Millie growled, her dagger circling around her back. "I'll make you pay for what you've done." "Try me, if you can keep up," Milda growled back.
The devil girl kicked off the ground, her wings sending her forward at Millie. Millie summoned a barrier with four daggers and blocked the attack. Her feet made small trails as she was forced back. Millie clenched her right hand and sent the other four daggers still floating behind her after the devil. Milda giggled as she reappeared around the barrier, scratching at it repeatedly before disappearing as the dagger flew at her.
"Rowan, I can't fight her on my own," Millie hissed as her will shook from each strike on the barrier. "I'm not good against her speed. How much longer do you need to recover?"
"I need a few minutes," Rowan muttered. "She stuck some poison in when she scratched me. Whatever you do, don't let her touch you. Poison strong enough to affect me will certainly kill you."
"All right, I'll hold her off," Millie said resolutely.
She took a deep breath and chanted the strongest prayer she'd learned from Priest Horus.
"Temptra, goddess of desire, hear my plea. As I swore to you and entered your service, please bless me with my desired form, protection. My will, my wants, and my needs unite together and humbly ask that you bless my shield so that no one will harm what is mine. Desire's fortress!"
A red beam dropped down from the sky, illuminating the barrier around Millie. What once was a dome of red light now changed into stone walls made up of the red light of desire. The miniature fortress stood tall around Millie and Rowan, shielding them from all attack.
"Fools, do you think Temptra's power will stop me?" Milda giggled. "I once served as her priestess. Mistress of desire, bless my claws so that I might rend my enemies."
To Millie's horror, red light blossomed onto the succubus's claws, forming a gauntlet with three deadly claws at the end. Milda slashed through one of the red light stones, rending it from existence.
Impossible. Why is the goddess helping you when you have forsaken her? Millie gasped. Foolish girl, you don't understand your mistress.
Milda destroyed another stone, causing the wall to shake.
The goddess is one of the chaotic, and she cares nothing for right or wrong. All that matters to her is how strong your desire is. Nothing else matters.
With a final cry, Milda raked through the stone barrier, collapsing it back into Millie's original dome. The exhausted girl fell to her knees and wheezed as the magical backlash struck her.
You can't catch me, Milda taunted. And your barrier won't last forever. Everyone here will die because of your weakness. That is my desire and your destiny.
You talk too much, Rowan hissed, leaning up with a clenched fist. A bone spike suddenly erupted from the ground, stabbing Milda in the arm as she reappeared. The devil girl shrieked and vanished, reappearing a few feet away.
How? She began to ask. I'm not stopping, Rowan yelled, and Milda wailed as another bone shot into her left wing.
Rowan moved his hand quickly, creating a bone spire wherever Milda stopped.
You're toying with me,
Milda whined, tears pouring down her face as her injuries accumulated.
Why are you so strong?
Rowan said nothing, but continued to listen to Claire's voice as she directed him.
She's coming up behind you now, 5 feet away, Claire informed him. Yes, now she's heading to your right, 3 feet forward, 3 feet in.
With both Rowan and Alfred's magic-heavy influence affecting the battlefield, Doc had wormed his influence closer in the same way that he had upon the invasion of the Tomb of the Forgotten King. While unable to control the ground, he and Claire could feel the vibrations on it, using Doc's swift mind to determine the Devil Girl's speed and direction every time she kicked off.
Big sister, help me!
Milda cried out as another bone spire cut her leg.
How dare you bully my sister, Michelle roared from the air. You aren't going anywhere.
Mary narrowed her eyes. The older devil girl was forced back by the blood swords, unable to assist her sister.
Please, don't hurt me anymore. I give up,
Milda begged as she fell to the ground, her arms, wings, and legs bleeding.
Finish it, Rowan, Millie pleaded, her heart twitching at the sight of the fallen girl. Understood.
Rowan nodded.
It's about time she got what she deserved. Bone spire!
Milda's scream echoed through the battlefield as a final bone spire tore through her chest, impaling the girl off the ground. With a gurgle, Milda coughed out blood and fell silent.
Milda!
Michelle wept in the air, but had no choice but to continue fighting Mary. Alfred heard the cry and resumed fighting Mary with increased vigor, like a man possessed.
It's finally over, Millie sighed, her barrier disappearing. Look out!
Rowan roared, pushing Millie aside. Milda's body vanished and reappeared next to Millie, her claws impaling Rowan through the chest.
That hurt, Milda growled, staring into Rowan's eyes. And you made me miss. I'll enjoy enslaving your soul after you die.
Rowan tried to answer her, but all he could do was cough up more black, poisoned blood.
No!
Millie wailed. Milda threw Rowan aside, flicking the blood off her claws. Millie's eyes followed Rowan's body as it tumbled across the ground, before finally stopping with his back turned to her.
Now that that's settled, it's time I take you, Milda turned to Millie.
Millie's response was to glare, her hands shaking as such an immense fury filled her. Her daggers vibrated in response to her will, shooting up twinkles of red light intermittently. Milda, releasing something wasn't right, backed off quickly.
Rowan!
Millie screamed, and her entire body erupted in light. Her daggers shone, growing from small weapons to the size of long swords. They danced in the air around Millie, who had been covered in a red construct. The construct took on feminine features, becoming a beautiful red woman with flowing hair and immaculate grace.
Goddess,
Milda whispered in horror. The visage only smiled and pointed a palm at Milda. The succubus girl reacted quickly and decisively, breaking a runestone from her pocket. In an instant, Alfred had replaced her, and the man stared up in horror.
No, my destiny, he whispered,
before a magical beam of red energy obliterated his entire existence. Milda reappeared next to Michelle, whose eyes widened at the sight of the construct.
We're leaving, she said,
and she too cracked a rune. In the sky, the sisters disappeared, retreating back to wherever their base was. The construct vanished as well, revealing a collapsed Millie. She crawled over to Rowan and hugged him before she too fell unconscious. Anodyne and Mary ran over to the two, checking their condition.
She's just collapsed, Mary reported shortly.
Rowan,
she shook her head.
Don't worry about him, Anodyne said. His life has already been set forth on the path, same as mine.
Mary stared into the eyes of her lost apprentice.
I've missed you.
Anodyne nodded.
And I you. Unfortunately, we don't have the time to reminisce or for me to explain. There is still a battle going on, yes?
Master Mary, report from the battlefield,
a voice echoed in the distance, as if the universe was answering Anodyne's words. Mary got up and stared at the approaching messenger.
Word from Orso, ma'am,
he saluted. The man was clearly shocked at the sight of so many downed adventurers, but he kept his professionalism.
The enemy is too strong and will soon overrun our position. Knight Commander Orso is retreating to the Elven District.
Mary frowned.
Understood. Return. These men are only downed, but will be up shortly.
At your command.
The messenger saluted and left.
How do you plan on rousing so many?
Anodyne asked curiously.
The same way I roused you and your fellow apprentices after collapsing from training,
Mary chuckled, sending a chill down Anodyne's non-existent spine.
Just a little injection.
The three blood swords morphed back into the three receptionists, each wearing a smile and holding a needle.
Ah, but if your friend could send us another pink slime, that would be appreciated.
Mary smiled sweetly.
I like her, Doc rumbled in Anodyne's ear. We share a love of poking sharp things into adventurer bodies.
Anodyne said not a word as she backed away from her former master. After sending the lone pink slime to Anodyne, Doc sighed sadly as he watched it dissolve quickly in the air, lasting just long enough for the adventurer leader to take some of its slime and quickly poke every unconscious person with it.
It seems that our role is done here, Claire,
Doc sighed, watching the crowd of adventurers leaving the Noble District.
Strong as they are, I can't see them lasting under that demon army's attack.
That's how time goes, Doc,
Claire comforted her partner.
Eras end, and new ones begin. Still, we really should prepare the floors for a sudden demon invasion once all the adventurers die. I doubt they'll let us just exist here.
What are our chances? Doc asked.
We have no chance, Claire admitted ruefully. Their numbers and tactics greatly outmatch ours. Not considering how you'd react with all those summoned demons, the warlocks just have to stay at the entrance and summon until you run out of strength. Without adventurers to absorb mana from, you'll waste away until you lack the power to even summon a small slime.
What if I go corrupt? Doc questioned. I could kill all the warlocks that way.
Yes, but then you'd go crazy and our lives would be ruined forever.
Claire shook her head sadly.
Really, there is no good way out of this for us.
That's not quite true, little dungeon pixie.
A sudden voice echoed through the heart room, startling both Doc and Claire and filling their spirits with fear.
Who's there? Doc commanded. Show yourself!
With a soft chuckle, a man appeared before the crystalline pixie. Holding a small hammer, he bowed low.
It is an honor to finally meet you, the man greeted them. My name is Olaf, a humble blacksmith.
How did you get here,
And how can you hear Doc? Claire asked, holding a hand up to stop Doc. Olaf smiled.
I can answer those questions for you if you're willing to listen to a proposition of mine.
Proceed, Doc rumbled after a moment's considerations.
My patron wishes you to stave off the demon army for a short time. In return, she will grant you the one-time ability to teleport anywhere you wish on the continent, Olaf revealed.
Claire twitched so hard, her wings stopped moving, almost landing on the floor, her shock was so great. Olaf held out a hand, forming a warm white light that caught the pixie.
How can you and your patron offer this?
Doc asked curiously, intrigued by the offer.
Besides, I'd rather not become corrupt if I can help it.
Through my patron's power, she'd grant the space for you to summon your slimes. It would require no effort for you other than the mana needed to create slimes, and the space would disappear upon completion of your task, Olaf answered.
Goddess! Your patron must be a goddess!
Claire gasped, finally free of her reverie.
There is no other force save a great demon lord who could offer such power.
Indeed, Olaf winked at the little pixie. My mistress is the goddess of law, Kira, and it was by her hands that you came into being, Doc.
Then that slime invader, Doc thought of Gretany. It was telling the truth, that it was the original dungeon mind.
Yes, Olaf agreed. My patron needed a body, and as the dungeon mind you know as Gretany was at the time, she could move it without consequence. It was, however, a surprise that it persisted and, through you, gained its own soul.
But how could the goddess do something like this? Move a soul into a body? That doesn't fall under Goddess Kira's purview of law, does it?
Claire wondered.
It is because of that man, Erikir. At this, Olaf finally frowned. By recreating the forbidden corruption magic, he violated the fundamental balance of this world. You see, true corruption magic requires the sacrifice of the user's immortal soul. It is split, shattered into pieces that are then planted within other beings. The soul shards grow like weeds, enveloping the mind and soul of the host until only the parasite's will remains. Erikir remains immortal so long as a shard exists, but his soul is forfeit, considering he destroyed it by his own hands. This, however, Olaf continued, left a void in the balance, and a new soul was needed. With her sisters Jura of Judgment, Turin of Duty, and Dietre of Truth, my patron found a soul in a separate plane of existence and brought it here. However, in order for the soul to acclimate to this realm, it needed to be incubated with this world's magic.
Are you here to remove my soul?
Doc asked warily.
No, for you have created your own, Olaf chuckled. Haven't you and your friends noticed your mental changes over this past year? You've grown and matured your own way, separate from the original soul. Think of a soul as a snowball, growing as it rolls over lessons and experiences. That soul, at your core, is no longer needed as you have created your own. Once it is gone, you will fill up your core with your own essence and finally be complete.
Then what will happen to the soul once it is removed?
Doc wondered.
It shall be released to Iatrus, god of death, so that it may be reborn into this world properly.
Will you accept my patron's offer? Olaf asked. Doc looked at Claire. Claire looked back.
I think I'm ready for a new adventure, Doc. How about you?
She asked with a smile.
Sir Olaf, you may proceed.
Doc turned his attention to the man and nodded. Olaf bent his head and blew onto his hammer. The small tool glowed white, producing a beam of white light that entered Doc's crystal. Doc felt nauseated for the first time as a tiny part of him was removed, but the feeling passed quickly. Afterward, Doc felt more alive than he had ever before. The beam withdrew into the hammer, drawing a tiny pinprick of light with it.
Thank you, Olaf bowed to the two.
Claire flew to eye level with Olaf.
Answer me this last question. Did the goddess's plan for the events of this past year to happen?
No, but Jura has always been a good gambler, Olaf chuckled. She predicted events might go this way, and it was there and my hope that you'd be good. When it is time, you will feel the ground open up to your power. When your job is finished, your ability will make itself known within you.
Olaf turned to leave before pausing.
Ah, and a message from Goddess Jura. She says, thank you for taking care of my chosen.
And with that said, Olaf vanished, as if he had never been there to begin with. Chapter 34 Mary concentrated hard, wielding her magic to replenish Knight Orso's missing blood. The old man coughed painfully, but a healthy glow arose in his cheeks as Mary healed his withered body.
Thank you, Master Mary,
Orso coughed, bowing as best he could. Pay it no mind, Knight Commander, Mary said seriously. We need all the sword arms we can get right now.
He fought harder than anyone, Colonel Frost agreed, as he finished bandaging the older man. Now, if he could only listen when others tell him to rest, he'd be the perfect soldier.
Orso let out a wheeze of laughter as Mary helped him up. All around them, priests and healers were running around, using their magic to heal every wounded person. Mary and her adventurers were in mostly good shape, though many had been injured by the demon princes. Orso and his coalition, on the other hand, had many seriously wounded and were all very fatigued. With Orso recovered, Frost climbed up a tree to keep watch on the far wall, where volunteers had stayed to hold back the horde. From behind, Prince Can appeared and saluted Mary.
No need for that, Kenneth, Mary smiled at him. Tell me, how are your brother and the rescued generals?
They're in a bad way, Guildmaster, Ken revealed. That Strider demon implanted her spawn in their bodies, controlling them like puppets. The generals are all in comas, and my brother is filled with so much regret, he'd be better off in one. Thankfully, Fiora is there with him, and she has accepted his apologies completely.
Those two will need more time to settle the past, but at least now they can work through it together, Mary sighed. Go, Ken. Take care of your sisters.
The prince nodded and walked away, Leo serving as his silent shadow. Grecian walked over to where he had been tending to Fred.
Mary, everyone here has gathered around the great tree to pray to Yor. Only the defenders are here now.
Good. That leaves them enough time to run if we start to fall, Mary sighed. How are my pupils?
Millie is sleeping. Fred will tend to her once he finishes healing. Rowan, on the other hand, he'll need more time.
Healing magic was powerful, but it wasn't a cure-all. It could soothe the symptoms of poison and illness, but it couldn't remove or cure the causes. It was because of this limitation that alchemy was a successful business, creating potions that could remedy the sick. Rowan, who had his flesh torn and his organs damaged, could only hold on while the poison was worked out of him. Not only that, but something was mixed in with the poison, hidden from the sights of the healers. Mary had a bad feeling about it.
It may sound harsh, but don't focus the healers on him, Mary ordered Grecian. We need to heal up the men first and foremost. Just keep him alive to be cured later.
Understood, Mary.
Grecian bowed and left.
They're coming,
Frost cried, calling out from his makeshift lookout post. Mary cursed under her breath.
Healers, take the wounded to the tree. Anyone who can wield a blade or spell, stand with me here.
All around her, men and women gathered. Adventurers, soldiers, mages, priests, hunters, alchemists, workers, miners, and merchants. The entire town united against their great enemy. In the distance, Mary could see the demons crawling over the palisade, killing the men who had volunteered to hold the line there. Orso bit his lips until his mouth dripped with blood. Many of his knights had stayed behind.
May the gods bless your passing, my brothers, he prayed. I will join you soon, but not without taking many with me.
Well said, sir. Jonas stepped up next to the knight, his body aglow with his flames.
Nat, care to join me for one last round?
Nat slapped Jonas on the butt and laughed. Don't go running off just yet. After all, I'm going to